The fight is escalating between Patagonia and the Trump administration. The activist clothing company publicly disagreed with President Trump's decision to shrink the size of Utah's protected monuments. Now it's suing, an unusual move by a retailer, but part of a growing activism. Think of CEOs like Tim Cook of Apple, who spoke out about Trump's ban on transgender people in the military, among other things. After Patagonia announced its lawsuit, Slice Intelligence, which tracks online sales in the U.S., said Patagonia's surged at least 5 times. On the other hand, there's a cottage industry of Patagonia haters. They say the company panders to the pampered. And other companies have seen backlash. When Under Armour CEO said in February that President Trump was an asset for the country, the hashtag boycott Under Armour started up. The company's stock was downgraded. And Howard Schultz, the executive chair of Starbucks, was widely ridiculed after his Race Together campaign. Remember when baristas wrote phrases on drink cups as an effort to combat racism. Well, Ronnie Chatterjee is associate professor of business and public policy at Duke University. He and others wrote a piece for the Harvard Business Review titled The New CEO Activists. Ronnie, when you watch Patagonia from the sidelines there, your thoughts?
Well, I see Patagonia and their corporate activism as just the long-term sort of unfolding of a broader phenomenon of CEOs and companies entering the political arena, with CEOs like Tim Cook and Howard Schultz speaking out on state, local, and federal laws. And in some ways, Patagonia is among the most likely companies to do this kind of thing. They describe themselves as an activist company, that the reason they're really in business is around protecting and preserving the environment. So I'm not surprised by Patagonia, but I do think it is part of a broader trend of CEOs and companies getting involved in politics.
Well, but you remind us of the Michael Jordan rule. You know, remember, Republicans buy sneakers, too. This idea that Republicans are buying Patagonia as well. Some of the people that we spoke to on the air who were in favor of Trump shrinking the amount of protected area considered themselves conservationists and people who use this land and might also buy this product. So what kind of risks are there?
There's a tremendous amount of risk and also opportunity when CEOs and companies get involved in politics. You know, in the old sort of model, companies want to be neutral. The idea was, why would you want to alienate 50% of your consumers? And in a polarized country, why would you want to take a controversial political stand? But here's what's changed. Because President Trump and his actions is such a Rorschach test for so many people, you either are for it or against it. People are increasingly looking to companies to kind of state their positions. And in a world of social media where, you know, basically it's a microphone that's always on, companies are getting barraged with these kinds of questions about where they stand. And if they don't take a position, they're likely to seem less authentic and less attractive to consumers. So I think that's what's driving a lot of this.
You mentioned Tim Cook and Apple denouncing freedom religion laws. But as critics pointed out, Apple continues to do business in countries that persecute LGBTQ individuals. So what kind of backlashes can a company face if they're seen as hypocritical or if they're seen as trying to make a buck off their beliefs? I mean, you have Interior Secretary Ryan Zinke calling Patagonia a special interest group. You know, it's shameful and appalling that they would blatantly lie, according to him, in order to gain money.
This is right. So when companies enter the political arena and issues are already politicized, they're going to see a huge amount of opposition on the other side. And you saw that when Tim Cook spoke out against RFRA in Indiana, the Religious Freedom Restoration Act. You saw that around companies speaking out against HB 2, House Bill 2 in North Carolina. What happens is the critics are saying, look, your practices are not consistent. You're speaking out about a law here in the United States, but you're supporting unfair labor practices or discrimination in other places, whether it's around the world or different parts of the U.S. And so companies are going to be forced to be more consistent on these different positions that they're taking. And there's much more transparency about what companies are doing around the world. And so I imagine that a lot of activists and stakeholders and interest groups are going to be putting pressure on companies like Apple, Patagonia, Starbucks, Under Armour to be consistent throughout their entire operations. So that's going to require a big sea change in corporate America.
You have to be prepared for that. But you mentioned those companies protesting the religious freedom law in Indiana and also the bathroom bill. But they didn't just protest. They pulled business out. They, in some cases, said that their employees couldn't travel there. How well does that work?
Well, this is a very interesting phenomenon. You're right. They're using their economic leverage. So when HB2 came along, PayPal and Deutsche Bank and a few other companies said, we're not going to create jobs in North Carolina. We're not going to continue our planned expansions in North Carolina. And the same thing happened in Indiana. And the same thing was threatened in Texas when they were looking at a similar religious liberty law. For critics of the companies, they say that using that economic power to blackmail state legislatures, to override the will of the voters, if that's the case, is not fair. And what's really interesting is you see the same folks who are upset about corporate power in politics, let's say the power wielded by the Koch brothers or folks that are supporting the conservative side, cheering on, right, Tim Cook and some of the progressive CEOs with their positions on these issues. And you see some of the folks who are really critical of Tim Cook and Howard Schultz actually benefiting quite a bit from other companies being involved in politics. And so I really see this as becoming more of a partisan issue. Companies are involved on both sides of the political debate, and whether you like it or not depends on where you stand.
Right. There's a goose and gander effect here. I mean, if it's good for your goose, it's going to be good for someone else's gander. For instance, David Green, founder and CEO of Hobby Lobby, this is the family-owned chain of craft stores, was the one who opposed the Obamacare requirement that health insurance for employees include coverage for the morning after pill and other birth control forms. So this isn't only happening on one side of the political spectrum.
That's right. Dan Cathy from Chick-fil-A, another conservative Christian business leader who spoke out against gay marriage and faced some backlash against that, but also some folks who said, hey, I'm glad you're speaking out, and I'm more likely to go to Chick-fil-A, which is exactly what you found with Patagonia and their rocketing sales in the past couple of days. So this is where companies are facing new terrain. When you enter the political environment, you might galvanize people who agree with you, who have intense support for the position you've taken, but you're also going to potentially upset people who disagree with you, leading to boycotts or social media campaigns and hashtags that could ultimately hurt your business. That's what makes being a CEO activist so risky and interesting nowadays.
There was the hashtag that Golden State Warriors player Steph Curry got behind, a boycott Under Armour, after Under Armour CEO Kevin Plank said that the president was a real asset for the country. You know, and I'm reminded, too, the New Balance CEO also got in trouble. He's somebody who wants to have more products made in the USA. So he tweeted out something about Trump's anti-trade agreement policies. He had a world of hurt. People were destroying, you know, burning their sneakers on videos.
And this is where President Trump in particular is kind of scrambling the political calculus for a lot of companies. So you're right. The CEO of Under Armour spoke out in a statement supporting President Trump. And then one of his major endorsers, Steph Curry, came out against that. And, you know, given that many folks in the National Basketball Association, including the Golden State Warriors, opposed President Trump's policies on a wide variety of topics, chose not to go to the White House, that conflict between Under Armour, you know, a retail company, and their biggest endorsers was a huge deal for the company. And later they had to walk it back, as you remember, with a full page ad in a Baltimore newspaper. Mm-hmm. And, you know, politics is one of these full contact sports. And you saw it at the beginning of the Trump administration when President Trump, even before he was inaugurated, got involved in the carrier deal in Indiana, really, you know, calling CEOs directly, asking them not to move jobs to Mexico and other places. So you're seeing much more direct interaction between government and business through Twitter, but also through these back channels. And whether it's the CEO councils that the president had and were dissolved, or Patagonia facing direct tweets from the House Natural Resources Committee, which says that Patagonia is lying to you in response to their original ad. So you're seeing sort of back and forth with companies and government officials going at it.
So Patagonia has a director of philosophy, you know, someone whose job it is to help the company frame how they approach the world. There are organizations like BALI, Business Alliance for Local Living Economies, or SBN, Sustainable Business Network. They've been around for a long time under different names. People like Ben and Jerry and Stonyfield Farm and Eileen Fisher, who are devoted to taking a stand as well as making a good product. What advice do you have for CEOs who might be deciding, you know what, I'm going to edge into this world?
My advice would be, based on the research we've done, that you have to be authentic. You can't rely on an outside agency or some consultant to tell you what issues to care about. You have to choose those issues to be active on based on what your employees, your board members, and the management team themselves really care about. And I think people see the authenticity in all the different things you do, from your business operations to your corporate social responsibility initiatives to the stands you take in politics and otherwise. And so I think picking something you really care about that's authentic, but also carefully preparing for the inevitable backlash, understanding where your consumers are and where other important business stakeholders are, and being ready to provide them a response for why you've taken a controversial position. Those would be my two big pieces of advice for CEO activists.
And we're going to see more of them, it sounds like.
I think you will. I think this is only the beginning.
That's Ronnie Chatterjee, Associate Professor of Business and Public Policy at Duke University. Professor Ronnie, thank you.
Thanks for having me.